Imagine being able to travel to any point in time. Where would you go? And what would you do? You could witness some of the greatest moments in history.
That's gotta be Kane! Break it down!
Season 5, episode 23, coming off of arguably the best pay-per-view we've seen.
It was a really good pay-per-view. King of the Ring.
King of the Ring.
And King of the Ring was Triple H?
Yeah, weird.
Oh, you did the shot already, right? Last episode?
I did.
All right. So long ago, I forgot.
Yeah. Last night.
Yeah, last night, right, exactly. Yeah. But we wrestled Vessel the bit in between, I think.
We did. Yeah, there was a couple things that we wanted to check out, but we'll cover that on maybe some bonus content.
Yeah, boner content,
for sure. What did you think of this Raw?
It was cool. It's a lot of drama going on. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But I mean,
a lot of drama going on.
A lot of things changing, a lot of cool, I don't know. There's a lot here. A lot to unpack.
Definitely. I'm going through changes. We're in Hartford, Connecticut.
This is pretty close to Triple H's hometown of Greenwich, right?
Hometown? Did you see that sign?
Yeah.
Yeah, this broad had a sign that said, like, hometown hero, but hometown was, like, in quotes, because, you know.
Isn't he from Connecticut, really, though?
Yeah, but not Hartford, Connecticut.
It's all probably within an hour. Like how far?
Hometown.
How far could it be to get across Connecticut?
Probably not that far.
It's like this big. It's like that big on the map.
But no, I'm kidding. We're starting this Raw. By the way, anything before we hop into Raw stuff?
If you want to get into it now, we can.
I don't have anything.
I just returned some cans, so I got a good can. I feel proud. I'm, like, really developing as a can return guy. And, like, I know how to, like, problem solve if there's an issue with the returner.
Troubleshoot, if you
will.
Yeah,
like, okay, so, like, you're returning cans. Full stack of people in there today. I got a full cart. You know, I only return, like, half the cans on my porch. Mm-hmm.
Did you D-low on the way in?
What?
Did you D-low?
No, I should have. But I didn't have the confidence. D-low. I didn't have the confidence that I do now. When I got there, it developed in the moment, you know. I just like, so I'm returning my cans like $3 in. It says, oh, error, you know, needs maintenance or something. You got to call an attendant in. But I remembered last time there were a problem, the guy just came and opened the door. Yeah. Like it looks like you need a key, but you don't. So I opened it and then didn't quite work. Opened it and closed it, you know, first solution, second solution, yeah. Wiped off the little area, yeah. Boom, worked like a beauty.
Damn.
Worked like a beauty. Now I'm opening, closing doors.
Yeah.
It's like I've been there before.
Yeah, good.
So I D-Lo walked out, but not in.
Yeah, well, as you should. Well, you're workshopping and all.
Yeah. I made
$13. 130 cans?
130 cans. And one of the bags I brought didn't even have any cans in it. So
what was in it?
It's just regular recyclables. I'm like, why would you put this in my pile of cans?
Not my compost bag with my banana peels and apple cores.
Yeah, slipped all over the place.
Yeah. We are kicking off Raw for some reason with LOD and Ahmed Johnson. And they're going to face the Nation of Domination, which is consisting in this match of Farouk, Crush, and Savio Vega. Why are we getting this match?
I don't know. I thought this was going to be for an Ahmed heel turn, but, you know, because he was a team member with LOD previously.
Yeah.
Farouk Crush and mm-hmm. Savio at WrestleMania, actually.
Let's actually recap King of the Ring. So the last time that we saw Farouk...
Well, they'll have just watched the episode.
Right. So, yeah, we'll recap it real quick. Farouk versus Undertaker, and Undertaker won, but did what? 43 choke slams doing? Do we count?
Yeah, at the behest of Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
He demanded that he keeps choke slamming.
And what did Ahmed came out to kind of save the day?
Ahmed saved the day.
It's what did he say?
It's a human being. Somebody, what are you doing? What's wrong with you, man? And so he saved Farouk. And, you know, we've seen the little talks of they're kind of like-minded with the whole racism, Vince McMahon's sure. racist thing. So I'm thinking this is a perfect shot, perfect chance for Ahmed to, like, I don't know, maybe just not beat up Farouk or something.
I mean, but how many Nation of Domination members can there be?
I mean, it's a nation.
Well, that's true. And Connecticut's like this. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, at least the
Connecticut amount of people.
Connecticut amount of people. That's a
that's good, as many black way. People are that are probably in Connecticut, though. Like eight.
Oh, eight. Yeah. That's so funny. So, when these guys are getting down to the ring, they do the old Nation of Domination fist, and Savio Vega's having some choice words with a fan, and Farouk's like, what are you doing? We're doing the fist thing. Not the fisting, the fist thing.
Fist thing.
Fist thing.
We're doing the fist thing. The fist thing.
What are you doing? We're human beings. We're doing the fist thing. Yeah, and then Savio's like, yeah, like, I'll do it, and he's just kind of like, half-asses one.
He does, you know, like, what I mean?
Yeah.
Limp-wristed fist.
Limp-wristed. My favorite artist. Or is that Limp Bizkit? Limp-wristed.
That's the, that was the gay cover band of Limp Bizkit. Limp-wristed, yeah.
Oh, God. God, now my brain's actually, like, thinking.
My way or the highway. This time I'm a little, it'll come out.
Oh, God. Yeah, you got a lot more. I think you know more Limp Bizkit songs than I do.
Yeah, like, yeah, dude.
I just know the Nookie one.
Yeah, that makes it a gay still, song. Yeah, it's the same gay. Song, yeah, yeah. Just about dudes.
Yeah, it's like, so what lyrics did you change? Like, nothing. No. It's just about dudes now.
Yeah.
So, a little tension here. Maybe Nation of Domination, not such a strong nation, if you will.
Yeah, maybe more like, what's a pretty weak nation right now? I'm trying to think of current politics, how to relate it. To people like Ukraine. I mean Russia. Depends how you're looking at it.
Yeah. United States.
United States, way stronger than Nation of Domination here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's like, it's kind of like any nation seems like they're ripe for revolution. It's you like, know, it's like in The Godfather 2 when they're in Cuba and then the communists win. That's what it kind of feels like.
Yeah. For sure, that's a good one. And in this match, LOD and Ahmed are all kind of getting their turn on Farouk, and Farouk's getting his ass whooped in this match. And Farouk ends up outside the ring, and Savio tries to, like, help him in his aid, but he was busy talking to Clarence Mason. And Farouk gives Savio a little bit of a push, so now there's definitely tension.
You just can't win tonight, you know?
Yeah. Farouk back inside the ring, ends up getting the Pearl River Plunge. Farouk loses, Ahmed covers, 1, 2, 3, and LOD and Ahmed Johnson get the W, and now you can see that NOD is not happy.
They just leave.
Yeah,
they left don't them. Even, like, go and help. They just,
no, they left them.
Not all of them, but Savio.
Savio, Crush.
Crush.
I think D'Lo stayed back.
Yeah.
The two other, like, guys in suits.
They've never done anything ever, though.
No.
They're just filler.
They are filler, yeah. Now I see why, you know, quality over quantity.
Right. And that is where they leave it.
Yeah.
But they're, Farouk's pissed, you know, he goes back, he's yelling at him, and they're not too happy.
Yeah. Do you think maybe Farouk just got a ton of CTE?
And just maybe them?
From last night.
Yeah, it's possible.
From just there.
Yeah.
I feel like I got a concussion. I hate the rest of my team. So tonight we are introduced with a match with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Brian fucking Pillman.
Well, we knew this was coming.
Yeah.
We know that they were going to settle their score after Stone Cold had his match against Shawn Michaels at King of the Ring. Yep. So excited for this?
Yeah.
I'm hoping Pillman shows up. I know he hasn't looked great, but this is a long time coming. This is like nine months of storytelling here ever since he Pillmanized Pillman's ankle.
Right. And now he recently gave him a swirly. So there's, I mean, the Stone Cold's got the upper.
Which is worse, do you think? Pillman tried to shoot him. He gives him a swirly, beats up all his buddies with a wagon.
Yeah, they recapped that a little bit. I was like, wow. We went from extreme, and then I think we had a fizzle out a little bit.
Yeah, that was like so extreme that like they couldn't live up to it for a while.
Yeah. And then this is new, but we're getting Psycho Sid and Owen Hart. And we knew this match was coming, but Goldust versus British Bulldog. And that is
for a title.
European title, yeah. So what better way to kick this off or post kick it off?
It's not a kickoff. We missed the kickoff. This is like second quarter starting, maybe.
Yeah. Could have LOD be like the prelude to that? And now we're
they're the pregame show.
Yeah, pregame. So now let's kick it off now. 1997 King of the Ring champion Hunter Hearst Helmsley with China. And Vince McMahon is going to do an interview with him, and he's asking Triple H, what's with the unnecessary roughness? You know, Vince, I think, was just pissed that he piled or gave him a pedigree through his table.
Oh, yeah.
Then like, they pedigree through our like, own table. Yeah. So like, that's why he's mad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Triple H is going on and says that he was sending a message because he should have won from last year. And him and Vince are kind of arguing a little bit here.
Shouldn't you be doing this as Triple H Trump?
Oh, yeah, but I don't know. I have a direct quote like, Mankind, what a loser. And speaking of Mankind, we hear knock, 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 knock. He just keeps saying knock, knock.
And it takes him a while to recognize that it's somebody's actually saying something.
Right.
And he's just knocking on the camera.
And Mankind is demanding a rematch to Triple H. And Triple H asked China, do you think we should accept another rematch? And China says, Mankind, you can come down here and kiss my ass. And this is the first time China, I think, has ever been on the mic.
And did you know that? I feel like she has a more pronounced lisp than she does in the future.
Let me ask you this.
It
was really bad because I'm like, how masculine is she going to sound? I don't know if she was trying to cover up like a deeper voice, but it sounded like almost like a deaf person.
I guess a little bit. I can see what you're saying with the deaf person. I don't know. We've heard her talk in a year or two a lot more. I don't recall her sounding like that.
Yeah, me neither. Either way, China says that Mankind can come down and kiss her ass, and Mankind replies with, what time?
Well, it's a good thing, or you're lucky that I'm a good kisser.
And that's then, twice that he's plugged that he's a good kisser.
Yeah, he's really pushing that whole narrative about being a good kisser.
Mankind comes down, and Triple H beats him with the crown that he was wearing, and the crown is left almost in like shambles in the ring, and like Mankind's trying to put it on his head, but it keeps falling off. Our next match, European Championship with Goldust.
I did want to throw something in here because I really was watching this and you just glossing over it really hammers down my point. Like, what the hell are we doing with Sunny here? All she's doing is selling t-shirts and squirt guns.
I didn't want to mention it because the fact that when I mention her, or maybe the listeners hear it, it's just hard for me to focus throughout the rest of the show, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's why you got these lower chairs. So your meter stops it.
Before, we had to like...
Yeah, like hold it down? Yeah.
Holding the table down.
You have to clamp it on the microphone clamp.
Because of my boner, guys. Flips the table over.
A huge boner. Sonny gives him boners.
Yeah.
If you didn't get what we were going for there.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, do we have to over-explain some things? I feel like sometimes we do.
Well, we have a lot of kids who listen.
That's true.
So we want to make sure they're aware of your boners.
Hey, kids, I still get them. Naturally, of course. European Championship Gold Dust versus British Bulldog. And British Bulldog's coming out. How was Jason Derulo described that? As solo? He's riding solo, so no Hart Foundation?
Yeah.
That is Jason Derulo, right?
Solo. I'm riding solo. That sounds like him.
Yeah. We'll go with it.
Solo. Solo.
And...
Is it? Yeah, it's gotta be.
Yeah, sure. We'll have Klaus look it up. Look at him. He's been active lately.
Active. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, he's must be Nugenics. Making money.
Oh, yeah. I've been giving him Nugenics. Text promo code Klaus to 353-353. Goldust ends up getting the pin. 1, 2, 3, and new European. Oh, God. British Bulldog's foot was on the rope.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Double count out after that. This match sucked.
Yeah, I was really thinking that Goldust might win this going in.
Me too.
But nah.
No. But Marlena smacks Bulldog, not once, but twice. Is she really smacking him out there? Bulldog has a chair and goes to attack Goldust inside the ring. And Marlena is kind of covering him, hovering over him. And now British Bulldog has a decision to make. Does he just drill Marlena with a chair? Is he really going to hit him with a chair?
I thought this was supposed to be fake.
Yeah. Ken Shamrock comes out and attacks Bulldog. I forgot about Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, ever since he injured Vader, he hasn't really been doing much.
Yeah.
It was Jason Derulo, by the way.
Klaus, oh, it was. Cool. Sweet. That Nugenics has those synapses firing for him, too. Yeah. They're more like nootropics on top of that, too. I did give him a 15 milligram Adderall, though, too.
Oh, no way. I thought that was fish.
He's been cleaning that tank himself. Like, thank God. So backstage, Pat Patterson is right outside the Nation of Domination locker room because they get their own locker room. They're a nation, right?
They are a nation of domination.
And Farouk says that he's got something to say. And he's
gonna there's a lot of drama going on.
Yeah.
Like, things are yelling, slamming, and he's trying to get a beat on what's called, I got something to say, I'm going out the ring to say it right now.
Yeah, so JR is going to interview Farouk.
But you do get an interview in the back still with Crush and Savio.
Most we've ever heard Crush talk.
Yeah, first is Savio, and I don't know what the hell he's saying.
He's
something
speaking.
About Puerto Rico. And
he's
then
speaking.
And then Crush comes out and says, nothing wrong is wrong with the nation. We're fine. You guys need to mind your own business. Don't come in this room unless you're invited next time. And then you get JR out on the ring.
Next time, you need to be invited. Like, we're not going to make a big deal about this now.
Invite only, bro.
And Farouk is saying to JR that he got Savio out of the fields picking jalapenos.
Yeah, that was my line of the night. I found Savio in a field picking jalapeno peppers.
And he goes, what's hotter than a jalapeno pepper? Savio's fired. So, Savio's fired.
He just fired Savio? Is this like a business that he could just fire people from?
And he tells Crush to get back in the unemployment line. Because now Crush is fired.
He's going straight back to jail, I bet.
So now, there's only black guys at Nation Domination.
Finally.
Yeah, finally. This is what we wanted. And then, he doesn't stop there. Remember those two guys we were talking about in the tuxedos, Tom?
Those guys that have never done anything ever?
Yeah, he says that they're pretty much worthless. They haven't done anything. And I'm like, he's got a point here. So those guys get fired. So now we're left with Clarence Mason and D'Lo Brown in the ring.
I like this version. I'm all right with this.
Me too. And Farouk says that one other person has to go. And he goes, D'Lo, grab the ropes.
For Clarence.
For Clarence. And then you hear, objection, you're right? And then Farouk is saying that he's going to make a more powerful nation than ever before. And he's calling out the people that he hates the most. He says, Undertaker and Ahmed, me and D'Lo are going to go against you next Monday.
In a tag match,
tag
huh?
match, yeah.
Now, you got to think... This is too low now.
You
got to think that Ahmed and Undertaker are going to win unless they've already predetermined to talk to Ahmed about joining.
Yeah, potentially.
But then why would they just let Ahmed beat the shit out of Farouk all day?
I'm going to say it's going to last a little bit longer.
Keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling. But the gay version.
Yeah, the gay version.
So it's just a bunch of ecstasy. Yeah. We actually see the Paz man himself, Mark Mero, backstage talking to Sable. And it looks like he's comforting her like they just broke up or something.
Oh, no, I didn't see that part.
I think she's down and out.
She's right? down and
All
out?
All she's doing is selling t-shirts, right? She's doing the same thing as Sunny. Yeah.
Jinx. Wouldn't that be funny if I just jinxed you at the beginning of an episode and you just couldn't talk the rest of the episode and then I could finally get the where I wanted to be here and just finally promote my own shit? You can talk. It was a joke. It was a joke, Jinx. You're good.
All right, thanks.
But
could you imagine? Yeah, that'd be awesome. And I got my sign of the night. Yeah, so I guess he's just comforting her, telling her to think positive and some shit. But we'll fast forward because we get to see Paul E. Dangerously and Tommy Dreamer walking down the stairs in the crowd somewhere. And they were mentioning that RVD, Mr. Monday Night himself, has got a match tonight.
Thank God we get to see him again.
I know.
I was worried.
And we get an introduction that says, the most exciting tag team in the World Wrestling Federation, Doug Furness and Philip LaFon. And JR throws a little shade here. He goes, yeah, they're so exciting. They're not even coming out to music and all that pyro. But yeah, what, did they always come out with no music?
I thought they had music. I'm sure it was just generic. Maybe not, we've never seen... No, we've seen them coming up.
Call 1-800-FURNACE-AND-CO. 1-800-FURNACE-AND-CO. How do we... I mean, just on the spot like that. Just
Everyone knows that old jingle.
Yeah, everyone knows that old... Oh, that old jingle? That's like the Empire song. Yeah. So the fans are chanting ECW while Doug Furness and LaFont are coming out. And they're going to face... Headbangers, and this match was kind of trash. Either way, Headbangers win, Thrasher gets the pin, and Stone Cold comes out, not for a match, but for an in-ring interview with Vince McMahon, and I have one of my sign of the nights. Hi, Elk Boy.
Oh, I did see that. Who's Elk Boy?
I don't know.
Oh. Huh. I'll have to look into that.
I know.
I'll have class look it up. Who is Elk
Boy? Who is Swipe Up? Either you know Elk Boy or you are Elk Boy. who could it be?
Is it a superhero?
I don't know.
Imagine if that was your superhero, you had the powers of an elk. You had antlers and you could, I don't know, graze on trees or whatever else to make it shot.
He's like, I got the pitch of match and stipulations. Below zero. So Stone Cold is recapping his great times with Brian Pillman. Those great times being the time that he broke into his house. He gave him Swirly. He gave him Pillman. He beat him over the leg with a cane once. So that is coming up. And now Vince is referencing, and I don't know if we've talked about this, this 10-man tag team match. So it's the five Hart Foundation members versus five mysterious members. Could be Elk Boy, could be Stone Cold, could be
Furness and Co.
Could be.
I think they might call him. But he does talk about that. He says, could you get five people? And I think Stone Cold's up for the challenge.
I think Stone Cold just wants all five of them to himself.
Sounds like Limp Wristed, right?
So it was kind of funny because Stone Cold says, you know, last time Gorilla Monsoon forced him to be tag team partners with Shawn Michaels. And he's like, he says something to Gorilla Monsoon. He's like, if you want to bring I'll kick your fat ass too if you want to tell me what to do or something. And that's the bottom line. RVD comes out with Jerry the King Lawler, and he lost his voice.
Yeah, King lost his voice. I think he might have given him COVID again.
Maybe him and China had a little something. Both not really sounding the same?
Maybe.
Because you know what they say? When Jerry the King Lawler and China get silly, who has the willy?
I don't know on that one.
I really don't know. RVD and Flash Funk and match of the night, ?
Really good.
Really good.
I was so excited that that's who they were.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I figured you were. You're a big Flash Funk guy.
I do. RVD, it was a good in and out of the ring, but RVD ends up doing a split leg moonsault for the win, and Paul Heyman and Tommy Dreamer hopped the barricades and started attacking him. This was a pretty long brawl, too.
Yeah. A lot of drama. It's just the beginning, guys.
Mm-hmm. Our next match, Psycho Sid versus Owen Hart, and Ken Shamrock is going to join us here on commentary. And now, ladies and gentlemen, my real sign of the night. Do you already have a sign of the night?
No, I don't think so.
I'm not making this up, and I took a photo for proof, but the sign says, Uncle Carl raped Keith.
Fuck, dude. That's how you find out? Hey, mom, check out this sign.
Could you imagine, what if you were Keith, and you're like, holy shit, I don't remember that, but now it's all coming back to me.
He said it would all be over so soon. He said it was just a little secret.
You do have a sign of the night, though?
No, I don't.
Man, there were so many.
I think that was the... Oh, yeah, there was. I do have a sign of the night, actually. Okay. But it was... It's more of a future-telling sign.
Okay.
We'll get to that in a little while.
So during the match, Jim Neidhart is coming out with Owen, and then he's doing a little extra stuff while the ref's not looking. And this is pissing Ken Shamrock off.
Yeah,
he wants a clean fight.
He's a big rule abider.
Yeah.
They don't do that in the UFC because they're always in a cage.
Right.
But wouldn't that be sweet?
If what? There was a cage match?
No, like if you're in the UFC and like somebody got knocked out of the ring, and say it was a ring.
And then and like your
everybody
manager,
could just
yeah.
stomp on them.
Or like they could be in like the edge and you can just like pull their hair through like the little gate.
Right.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be cool. I think I'll allow it. I'd allow it. Ken Shamrock then attacks Jim Neidhart and he throws Owen back in the ring. Psycho Sid does a choke slam and gets the W here. This was probably my favorite part of the night, and this is the Mankind sit down interview with Jim Ross. This reminded me, go on.
Yeah, I was like before, they kind of prefaced this, and he's like, oh, this is the final part of your interview with Mankind, and Vince and JR talking, and JR's like, really, I had to rewind it because I like kind of wasn't paying attention, and then he's like, you know, I really, at the end of this, wish I never took this assignment in the first place. So I'm like, what the hell happens here?
Yeah.
This is going to be weird.
Yeah, I watched it because I thought it was another one of those like same things where he talks about like how he wanted to be Shawn Michaels and all this other stuff, but I'm like, this felt like it was more like a Dr. Phil episode where it's like, do you think you should go see a psychiatrist? You might, you know, have multiple personality syndrome, all this other stuff. And then he's like, well, it looks like he's like telling Jim Ross, he's like, well, you're not doing your job. He's like, you sit there and tell me, oh, look at Mankind. He's going through all this pain. He must love pain. He goes, he starts punching himself in the face. He goes, do you think that doesn't hurt? Long story short, yeah, he ends up mandible clawing Jim Ross.
Kind of loses it. He mandible claws him, holds him down for a bit. JR's coughing, can't get his breath.
Mm-hmm.
And then
good sell by JR.
Oh, great sell by JR. Sell. And yeah. Mankind, it seems like he comes to his senses. And he's like, yeah, oh, Jimmy. And yeah, then he's like, somebody help him.
He needs help. He needs help. And he's like, he just walks away there. We get a little rockabilly. We're the rockabilly. Do you know who he's facing?
None other than his brother from the same mother.
Bart Gunn? When's the last time you saw Bart Gunn?
Probably when he paralyzed him.
Yeah, he's Billy. Walking here. Rockabilly does like the famouser and then like waits a little bit and does like a dance and then pins him?
He does a swinging neck breaker too.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Match was very lackluster.
Well, yeah. I'm really mad at Rockabilly these days.
Why?
Because like in current wrestling...
He's great.
He's all, well, no, not anymore. They turned on...
Scissor me, daddy ass!
They turned on the Acclaim.
Yeah.
And now they're not going to scissor me, daddy ass anymore. Mm-hmm. I saw
That's all we bought AEW tickets for.
Yeah, I know. We were going to wear a scissor me, daddy ass shirt.
I think that is why we bought those tickets. We're like, we watched this, like, oh my God, they're going to be close to us.
Yeah, so. We're going to walk right out. We want to be able to, you know... I saw this, I don't know if, but he tweeted it, the guy from Oh, claimed.
That's so funny. Is he gay?
Yeah, he's gay. Okay. He's gay, so. He was actually in Limp Bizkit, the band.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
He played bass.
Have you seen a picture of Fred Durst recently?
Yeah. Yeah, he looks crazy. Normal.
Crazy. I saw him, like, perform on something, and I'm like...
He was at Lollapalooza.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I'm like, what wig is he wearing? I'm like, oh, no, that's just what he looks like.
Yeah, he's just a dad now.
Yeah, he... Interesting. It was very... It was hard for my brain to, like, process that whole thing. Our main event, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Brian fucking Pillman versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. And Stone Cold comes out, glass breaking, and Heart Foundation coming from behind, attacks Stone Cold as he's coming down the ramp.
And this is where I saw my sign of the night. Ooh. And so this is making me think. So we know this is in 1997.
Right.
I see Pillman, a Pillman 9/11 sign.
I did see
that. You're getting married on 9/11 this year.
Correct.
4 years after this aired, there was a terrorist attack on 9/11.
Where?
Somewhere in New York or something, I think, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
I think Pillman knew this was going to happen the whole time. Or maybe we told him somehow when we were back and partying with him.
You want me to throw one a little bit deeper?
Yeah.
He was wearing a shirt that says, "I don't call 911. 911.
Whoa.
Hmm.
And then on the back, didn't it say, "Jet fuel can't melt steel beam"?
Yeah.
How would I even know there would be a thing? Everyone probably thought that back then.
Yeah. Wow. Did you see that Building 7 sign? Hashtag Building 7. Wow. Pretty wild. Let's not look too deep into it, though. We got a main event to cover. Heart Foundation attacks Stone Cold down the ramp, and for some reason or another, Mankind comes out.
And, like, helps Stone Cold. Starts beating up the Heart Foundation.
And Stone Cold looks injured?
Yeah, he's got his knees fucked up or something.
Yeah. So, inside the ring where Brian Pillman is, Mankind is attacking him, and the match starts?
Yeah.
And now it's Mankind versus Brian Pillman?
Somehow... Everyone was on the same page that if you just run out there, well, not everybody. The referee knew this is the obvious rule, and Mankind knew the rule too. They must have studied the rule book before. Mm-hmm. If a guy gets attacked in the ramp when he's walking out for his match, and you run out and get in the ring before him, then you get to be in the match.
Those are the rules.
Those are the rules.
Yeah. It was just a quick transition. I had a.
You know what's crazy? In the rule book, that's chapter 9, rule 11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. And I looked that up, and that's insane.
That is wild.
So it's kind of like it's working on so many different levels.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the match is going on. So I guess it's now Mankind versus Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman, there's a spot where he's just ripping out Mankind's hair, and now he's, like, sticking his fingers down Mankind's mouth. And then Mankind does a double-arm DDT and sets up for that mandible claw. Heart Foundation come back out and they attack Mankind, and this is where we have enough. We're going to call it a DQ. Mankind wins the main event.
Yeah, that he wasn't even in.
That he wasn't even in. So, Heart Foundation are attacking. Stone Cold Steve Austin comes out to assist, and he's hopping around. And then Shamrock comes out to assist. Now, will these guys be on the team with Stone Cold to verse the Heart Foundation?
Sounds like we're building up towards that here.
Doesn't matter. Stone Cold just stuns Shamrock. That's how it ends.
And then he leaves and he flips off behind and then he walks away.
I'm like, maybe these guys could all get together and... Oh, nope. Stunner. And he flips off Mankind.
He's not playing by anyone's rules but his own, man.
Yeah.
He got no...
Do you know who's in that tag match, by the way?
No, do you?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert?
Nah.
Do I have to guess?
Mm-hmm. Throw some names out.
Stone Cold?
No.
Oh.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mankind?
There's one I'm not so sure about. I know four of them.
Four out of five.
Kind of not who you would...
Ahmed?
Yeah.
Undertaker?
Don't think so.
I don't know. Goldust?
Maybe. I don't know. Two we saw tonight.
Mm-hmm. Psycho Sid.
Nope.
No? Wow. Bart Gunn?
I'm going to say maybe zombies because I don't know the last one.
Why would he be on it? It's a terrible matchup.
No. I don't want to say L-O-D. It on there. Yeah, it's L-O-D. Yeah.
The Legion of Doomanesian.
They should merge.
It's a pretty quick episode here.
Yeah. Huh? We're doing
the slower, well. The slower angle that we're sitting in.
Makes for a faster podcast.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's less boners.
Yeah. Less boner distractions, I think. Same amount of boners, right?
Yeah. And even Sable came out and she did a...
did we even talk about that? Oh, yeah, we
t-shirt.
Did a little bit. She did a Raw's War.
Also, yeah, the Raw's War shirt is pretty cool. But again, $27 and then you have to pay $10 for shipping and handling? That's insane.
That is a lot back for back then.
Yeah.
They were making a killing.
They had to have.
$27 in 1997, that was significant.
Yeah, that's like you can ball out at like Applebee's back then.
Dude, you could get so much at Applebee's. It was $20 two for 20s like 10 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, Bennigan still is $7 tip. Well, yeah, $37 for a shirt at the end of the day.
They haven't played RVD's music yet, right? It's just always been King's music.
It was, no, he came out to something. It was just kind of like techno-y, but it wasn't the... All right, anything else? We'll wrap this puppy up and watch the next one.
No, I think that's all. It's good to be back. Got a nice holiday.
Yeah.
This will probably air in September, but we had
a nice
Labor Day.
Yeah. All right, guys, good night.
And God bless wrestling.